All right. Well, yay. Welcome, everybody. We have reached a quorum to December 11th, CoreMPO Technical Coordinating Committee. We will start with the approval of the agenda. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved, Michelle Strickland, City of Savannah.
Second. Oh, go ahead, Matthew.
All right. And we'll start the vote tomorrow, right?
Brown, aye.
Strickland, aye.
Proctor, aye.
Wakoda, aye.
Brooks, aye. Any opposes online? All right. We'll move forward on that. Into our action items, we have approval of the October 16th meeting minutes.
Move to approve, Strickland.
All right, so moved. Can we get a second?
Second, Brown.
We'll start the vote to the right.
Clark, aye.
Brown, aye.
Strickland, aye.
Proctor, aye.
Michael, aye.
Brooks, aye. No opposes online. We will move forward with our next action item. FY 2027 UPWP preliminary draft.
Okay. Good afternoon. I will present the draft, a preliminary draft fiscal year 2027 UPWP. We did talk about some special studies. That was the first round of discussion for those special studies to be included in this preliminary draft. We will just have the second round of discussion for those special studies. But before we do that, I would like to highlight what we are including in the preliminary draft UPWP. As you know, that UPWP is the CoreMPO's staff budget for the next fiscal year, and it covers July 1st, 2026 to June 30th, 2027. And so it documents what the staff are doing with the money that have been allocated. I just want to let you know that we did receive the revenue projections from GDOT the first week of December. So as you can see, I will just show you the budget right now over here. So for fiscal year 2027, the expected revenue for PL or highway planning funds, the federal amount is 424. So the total for the highway planning funds is about $615,000. And then for the increasing safe and accessible transportation options, since we don't have a local match for this one, so we're all using the federal dollars, the federal dollars reduced a little bit by about a couple of $100 or so. So, but the total is $12,600. So, and then for the transit planning, we got the figures when we submitted the Section 5303 grant application in September. So we do have the numbers. So for the transit federal portion is about $203,000. And then the state will provide 10% state local match. And then the CoreMPO membership will provide another 10% of the local match. So this is our total budget for the next fiscal year, and it's around $881,000. So with all of this, and the staff will be working on several tasks. Administration will cover the meetings and the monitoring, the reauthorization, and so prepare meeting minutes and agenda, setting up agendas and have a coordination. So a lot of that work, and then also equipment supplies, and contracts and the UPWP. So that will be covered under administration. Public involvement covers the public outreach, participation plan, Title VI plan, the CoreMPO website and social media accounts, and orientation. That will cover all of that, and data collection, analysis, and forecasting will color, we will cover, SC data, collection, the census data, and then also, bicycle and pedestrian, data collection, and the travel demand model related activities. And system planning and operation will cover MTP, TIP, congestion management process, freight plan, non-motorized transportation plan, and then special study management. For the complete street or task 6, increasing that will cover the update to the non-motorized transportation plan, management of the bicycle and pedestrian facility study, and then implementation of the projects from the non-motorized transportation plan. The transit planning tasks, administration, I have already talked about administration. Long-range planning will basically cover the MTP development, congestion management, ITS, freight planning, and also the transit long-range planning, and probably implementation from the transit master plan. The short-range planning will include coordination with CAT on resolving any CAT studies or transit planning related studies, like bus stop inventory, if they want to do the next phase. And then also, we are monitoring what's happening with the litigation with CAT. So that will be covered under transit. And also, since we are expecting to have the new TIP adopted by the June 30th of 2026, so we are expecting next fiscal year, the most of the TIP tasks will be TIP maintenance and amendments, administrative modifications, such as that. So under each task, I did have the, especially under the system planning and operations, I did include the subtask. So, like how much? And also, as you may notice, that we have a more budget for under administration and system planning and operation. That's because administration also covers equipment and supplies. And we are still doing research on the TIP database management tool this year. So hopefully we will acquire a software and acquire a vendor. And so deployment will be a part of that. So that will be covered under equipment supplies because it is a software purchase. So that's why you see a big budget over there. And the system plan, because we are going to start preparation work for the next Quorum PO, freight plan update, congestion management process update, and freight and MTP update. So there will be a lot of work conducted under system planning and operation. And the three special studies that we are managing will continue. Hopefully by March 31st, 2027, those will be done. But the special project management will be covered in the system planning and operation. So that's why you see a big budget over there. So each of the detailed tasks actually specifies what we expect to accomplish by June 30th, 2026. So if you see tasks that you don't think it's done, but we are listed as it's completed, that's because we are projecting the completion by June 30th of 2026. And then the 2027 activities actually list what we are going to do under each task and subtask. So with that said, we will just go back and to the special studies to finish our second round of discussion. So as you may remember, that we issued the call for plans and studies in August. And we decided to carry forward several special studies from fiscal year 2026 UPWP because those studies have already gone through two rounds or several rounds of discussions. So they will be carried forward. And then for the new proposals, we had our first round discussion in October, and we're going to have the second round discussion today. So we did talk about the regional freight transportation plan update. And then Metropolitan Transportation Plan update during the last meeting. And then we did indicate at the TCC that we had a meeting with FHWA, FTA, and GDOT the day after the last TCC meeting. And so we did have a meeting, coordination meeting with them. So FHWA and FTA, they actually wanted us to explore options because we were asking $400,000 for the freight plan update and $500,000 for the MTP update. So they were saying probably we can if we cannot obligate all of the funds for this fiscal year 2026, we can keep some of that. So we don't have to ask for that much money, almost $900,000. They may not give us that. So if we can just keep some of that, in fiscal year 2026, budget. So we actually asked them for specific examples, because previously, if we cannot obligate all of the funds in the current fiscal year, we just carry over to the next UPWP. But several years ago, they took away that capability from us. And so that's why they started this discretionary PL funds. But now they said that we can probably just keep some of that. So we will see how much we can keep. And so if we can keep some of that, and we don't have to ask for that much money for the next round. But we are still planning to apply for discretionary PL funds for both the studies and also you probably will talk to you about the build grant notification NOFO. So it seems like some of the MPO studies might be eligible for that. So we will probably explore those options as well. So those are the development under free transportation plan and metropolitan transportation plan development. So I think the most possible scenario for the freight plan is probably do a minor freight plan update, but with a focus on the truck parking study. Urban flood model study phase three, it was proposed by Melanie. Melanie was supposed to send me updated language, which I haven't received. So there's no update over there. Cornpeel Regional Industrial Trip Generation Development. We did talk about the city's final request of this, and because we wanted to do a trip generation regarding the warehousing development. But during the last first round of discussion, we also talked about multifamily development in the region. So we want to incorporate that information as well for the industrial trip generation development. And Michelle actually graciously went back and updated this section of the project scope. So I just want to let you know that we did update the scope. And for the Chatham County I-95 partial interchange, Frontage Roads, Farquaco Road, and Tulip Neck Road, and FEM County's FEM Parkway North Extension Feasibility Study, we did tell you at last meeting that if we want to apply for discretionary PL funds, you probably will get denied. So we did change the funding source to SDBG in this preliminary draft of UPWP. So that means next time we conduct another call for projects, you will be eligible to submit applications. But also because of the NOFO for build grant funding. So I encourage all of you to look at that as well. So that maybe we can just, even if we are not sure whether we're going to get the money, we can at least apply. So that will help us being prepared. So those are the updates. And you can see, if you just go over each of these special studies. So I did also include it for the, besides the new studies that we just discussed, that we updated the scope and updated the cost estimate, updated the funding code. We also made sure, because for the three studies, bicycle pedestrian advisory study and the US 80 corridor phase two, and then also the urban flood phase three. So we do have the schedules from the consultants. So what happened is that we added in for those studies that are ongoing, we actually added in the schedules over here for each one of them. So you can at least see what is the milestone days and what is expected at what. So those are all the updates about the preliminary draft fiscal year 2027 UPWP. The staff will ask your endorsement so that we can send the draft document to FHWA, FTA, and GDOT for their 30-day review. And then after we get their comments, we address those comments. We will come back to you to show you what has been revised and how we incorporate those comments. So in February, and you will have a revised version of it. But in the meantime, we will ask for your endorsement. And then if you have additional questions, if you want to review this document, it's about 100 pages. If you want to review that, and also if you don't feel comfortable with the budget, and with the tasks, let us know so that we can make corrections and edits as well. Any questions?
All right. Since we have no questions, can we get a motion to endorse the preliminary draft UPWP?
I'll make a motion to endorse Brown.
Second, Strickland.
All right, we'll start the vote to the right.
Lewis, yes.
Clark, yes.
Holm, yes.
Brown, yes.
Strickland, yes.
Proctor, yes.
Wakoda, yes.
Brooks, yes.
Seems like Jonathan has some questions. Okay. Yeah, I thought he was about to ask questions. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. That moves us into our status reports. US 80 phase two.
US 80 phase two is being conducted by Kim Nihorn. So I will ask Rose to come over here and give you the status update.
Thanks, Wakoda. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Hope y'all are doing well. Hard to believe we're already in December. So I'm just gonna give a quick update on the State Route 26 US 80 Scoping Study Phase 2, which is GDOT PI 0020786 in Effingham County. We are going to do a more extensive existing conditions presentation at the first TCC meeting on February 19th and then subsequently to the board, I believe on February 25th, 2026. So this will be very intentionally brief today. We just want to give you kind of a snapshot where we are as we've begun and completed most of the existing conditions for the study. So I think the first one I want to highlight is item C here on the screen. We have submitted the existing conditions memorandum to the MPC and to the county. We did so on December 3rd. I believe Jonathan and his folks at the county are reviewing and are intending to provide us some comments back next week. And then the MPC anticipates completing their review by mid-January. And so after we get any and all comments from that, we'll consolidate and then plan to post that document on the website concurrently with a survey where we'll solicit all input from members of the public as we head into our forecasting. So work in progress. As I mentioned, we will be preparing the existing conditions presentation to y'all and to the board, as well as to the Effingham County Board of Commissioners and their Transportation Advisory Board all in the early part of quarter one next year. And then we'll concurrently kick off the forecasting, which is the really fun part, particularly on this study. Overall, we're about 40% of the way complete, and as I mentioned, our first major milestone we have completed with the existing conditions, and our next major milestone, as shown here in the schedule, is the traffic forecasting, which really on this study is the key. Existing conditions, as compared to some of the other primary corridors we've studied, are not too bad, but as y'all know, the Hyundai plant is going to really influence this part of US 80, and so this study is very much rooted in the forecasting. So as I mentioned again, the presentations to CORMPO TCC and the board, Effingham County Board, and their Transportation Advisory Board all will occur in quarter one next year. So with that, are there any questions? Otherwise, look forward to sharing more with y'all in 2026.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay.
Thank y'all.
All right. Status report on the urban flood model phase two.
Oops, I did something I shouldn't do. Oh, thank you. Sorry. Good afternoon. I'm Subhasha Karunaratna, and on updates about the urban flood model phase two, we are at the initial stages of collecting data from all the jurisdictions, and also we are reviewing currently the phase one data, and also we are in the process of compiling the infrastructure strategy guide. The most important thing I wanted to mention is that we have our web page up and running on the MPO website, and we have also published the link for our survey on the website.
So I will quickly go to the survey and show you what we have there. This survey is twofold, one for the community, general community members, and for MPO members. So all of you would probably be taking this one. And under the MPO member option, you have the links to go through the existing phase one models and data if you're not familiar with it, or if you have accessed it before. As a refresher, here's the link. You can click around and play around it and answer the questions. Out of these questions, what we look forward to is gathering more data. We have compiled questions to understand what you all would rather see on the phase two model for this to be used in your daily work. So that is the most important update I have for you for today. So thank you.
Okay, I will give a short update, but the study is still ongoing and there is a lot of work underway. So project management is currently underway and public engagement is underway, and I'll speak about that a little bit more later in the report. For what's been completed, the literature review has been completed and the inventory update has been completed. So at the end of this report, I have all of the maps that Cory Engineering gave to us in terms of what our bicycle and pedestrian inventory is, and those are all PDFs. In terms of shapefiles, we're still waiting to receive those shapefiles. But the most important part of this, or one of the most important parts of the study that's underway, is the needs assessment. So that will be assessing some of the gaps in the system and what infrastructure updates we need. In terms of what we have been doing with the study with the lead consultant agency, Cory Engineering, is there have been a lot of meetings, especially over this fall in October. So one important meeting was the meeting with the project advisory group, which is a meeting with stakeholders to give their input on this study process. If you want to be an advisor to this study, please let me know, because we will be having more advisory group meetings. Another important meeting we had was a coordination meeting between the Savannah Moves project team and this study. And that's because Savannah Moves is a multimodal transportation plan, and so there are a lot of similarities in terms of like the multimodal topics that they are dealing with in Savannah Moves in this study. And so from that meeting, we decided that Cory Engineering and Savannah Moves and Cory MPO will have probably a once a month meeting to coordinate. Additionally, we also had a meeting with Cory Engineering and Effingham County and Kimley Horn about the US-80 corridor study phase two to discuss the bicycle and pedestrian related parts, specifically the Georgia Hilo. And then we did some public outreach for GIS Day, which is a day where kids can come out and learn about GIS and mapping. And so we included some of those bicycle and pedestrian maps. And then we had our most recent project management team meeting on December 3rd, and we're still just moving toward that project end date of March 31st, 2027. And then again, here are the map PDFs that we have so far. I will let everyone know when we have the shape files, but so far we have not received those shape files. In addition to this report, Cory Engineering also wanted me to share some of the public outreach materials that they have. So they have a fact sheet describing the project, why it matters, and then links to a bunch of resources, including the project website, some surveys, and other information. And they also have this in Spanish as well. So in terms of the survey, it's currently live. We've also got a few hits on that survey, so a few people have taken it. But if you have not taken it yourself, we have the links to take it here. And if you would like to share this, you're welcome to share this on any of your social medias or websites. But if there are no questions, I can end the report.
Thank you so much, Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And then up next is the Namadrash Transportation Plan.
I'll be giving that report as well. So for some of the more recent updates with the non-motorized transportation plan, was we had a meeting with a software service called Waypoint Transit, which is a platform as what that does what they describe as automating workflows. And so that meeting was about managing the non-motorized transportation plan, especially because it is a pretty big plan, project-wise. Just because, again, the project list in the non-motorized transportation plan is in the hundreds. And so Waypoint Transit, basically, we're pitching their software as a way to manage all of those projects since it is quite a big number. We're continuing with completing the draft plan and the project evaluations for the non-motorized transportation plan, and we aim to adopt it April 2026. And that is the end of this report if there are no questions.
Thank you. And now we have the call for projects scores and rankings.
So I'll be giving, Subhash Karnarat, and again, I'll be giving the status on the carbon reduction plan. We are in the process of gathering the scores, for the submitted applications. Here's the list for the CRP from Chatham County and Effingham County. Based on the results we have so far, these are the five projects that have scored the highest scores. The reason why we have five is the last three are tied to the position, so it might be this list might change with the finalized scores. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Subhashi.
Okay, so I'll give the staff report for the TA call for projects. So currently we are still in the project scoring process. So for this, we received three sets of scores out of the five that we need. So I'm trying to contact the other evaluators to see when they will get their scores in. But so far, based off of the sets of scores that we received for the TA, the top scoring projects are the Johnny Mercer Boulevard Pedestrian Improvements Project with Chatham County, the Georgia High-Low Trail Connector with Effingham County, and the McCall Road Multi-Use Trail with Effingham County. So in terms of next steps, it's having a discussion here and at the Core MPO board, but again, we don't have all of the scores yet, so we're still waiting on the other evaluators to submit their scores. And that's the end of this report.
Thank you. Any questions for Asia? All right, thanks.
Okay, I will give the presentation on the SDPG scores. I just want to remind everybody, so if you see this original schedule, we were supposed to have December today, TCC meets to review the final scores and rankings, comes up with project priority list and award recommendations, and make recommendations for project incorporation into new TIP, and then the Core MPO board will approve the TCC recommendations for the priority lists and project award. But as you heard from Subhashi and Asia, because we haven't got all of the scores yet, so we have to move this item from action item to a status report. Basically in December, because in February, what we were trying to do is to allocate the SDPG, TA, and the CRP funds to projects based on the project ranking, and then we will make award recommendations. So basically what we will have in February is that TCC will review, TCC will probably do whatever we were originally planned in December. So TCC will review the priority lists and award recommendations, and also make recommendations for funding allocations at the same meeting in February. So we just have to move that because we don't have the complete set of scores. Regarding the SDBG, I can show you because I compiled. I received the Johnson's score. We actually received the city's score and Chatham County score, and then my score, and then FEM County score. So based on the four sets of scores, and this is the ranking. So as you can see, State Route 204 came on number one, and Preston Street came on number two, and Johnny Mercer Boulevard pedestrian sidewalk has number three, and then Little Neck Road roundabout is number four, and then the Old River Road, that project is number five, and then the rest of those would be the trail projects in Effingham County, and this is based on the four sets of scores that I got so far, but at lunch hour I did receive the final set of scores from BPAC, from Kayla. So after plugging Kayla's numbers, the top five didn't change. So they're a little bit changed to the next six sets of projects. So I think that the reason for the SDBG, because the SDBG funds are the most flexible, so they can be used for highway transit and bicycle pedestrian projects. But the criteria that we have over here, I would say they favor highway projects. Because we do have a lot of questions regarding freight, and we do have a lot of criteria or questions regarding transit, because Old River Road is not connected to any transit, and the FEM County project is not connected to any transit. That's why it's not to their benefit. So they didn't get those scores, but they did get all the scores that they have about the bicycle and pedestrian connections and connectivities to like grocery stores and libraries and the schools. And so you did get all those scores. But the transit side, they didn't get as many. And also for highway side, they didn't get as many. So that's probably why they scored low. But fortunately, they still have the Transportation Alternatives Program and the Carbon Reduction Program that really favors the bicycle and pedestrian projects. So we have those funding sources to consider. So I will update this after plugging Kayla's numbers. For Quorum PO Board, we probably will receive the updated scores and rankings. But I just want to let you know that the top five will not change. So basically, the two operational improvement projects, State Route 204 and the Little Neck Road roundabout, they got pretty good scores for those. And the President Street got very good scores as well. So just want to let you know. In February, we'll come back to you. So hopefully by that time, GDOT will provide the revenue projections for us. And so we will make recommendations just based on the revenues that we receive. Any questions?
I did have a few. For this copper projects, does the funding, like the first year of funding FY27, is that how this one works?
Whatever we include in the call for project menu, those are based on the current tip and then all of the amendments we have processed and then newly available information as of earlier this year, like a rescissions or reallocation of funds. So based on all of that information, but we don't have the complete picture.
Okay.
So GDOT Office of Financial Management, we have the complete picture. So they will give us the more accurate cost as revenue estimate, because we were assuming that if we have carryover funds, we will move it to 2027, but they probably will not do that. But they don't give us the formula to see how much, what is the percentage they move to 2027, how much they move to 2028, 2029, 2030. But they would definitely not give all of that funds in 2027. So they will move some funds to all 4 years. So we just don't know how much. So that's why we can start to do the allocation, but I mean it will be wasted effort because we don't have the exact revenues.
Gotcha. I was just curious if us shifting the schedule at all impacted like the funding. If it starts in FY27, I wanted to make sure it wasn't FY26 that we were trying to get funding for.
If we have 2026 funds and we are still in 2024 to 2027 TIP, so we might process TIP amendments first. Yeah, yeah. And then if we allocate those funds in 2027, and the 2027 project will be carried over to the next TIP, 2027 to 2030 TIP. Yeah, but 2026, hopefully, if we process the amendments, we hope that the funds will be obligated by June 30th of 2026.
And then I just had a question. It sounds like we're going to have some homework for the February meeting as far as getting those priority lists or...
I think we should be able to at least get all the priority rankings done. The only uncertain part is the revenue projection. Because when we coordinated with GDOT last time, they were saying that we were supposed to, because their STIP development schedule was by June 30th, 2026, they're going to have a STIP, and that means that we need to have a new TIP as well. But based on the GAMPO meeting that was held in September, I think their STIP development schedule is calendar year 2026. So we will see. But if we don't adopt a new TIP in June, at least we would target probably August. So we probably will not wait until December. So as long as the revenue information is ready for us, and we should be able to proceed with our TIP development.
Thank you. Does anybody else have any questions for Wakoda?
Yeah. With, I guess, the same projects being listed over the different funding sources, I guess the allocation of funds, you know, there's limited funds in each portion. So I'm just wondering, you know, I guess how we're going to, you know, divvy out, you know, the funding source, you know, because I know just looking at, you know, one of the ones that scored pretty well was Johnny Mercer Boulevard. It was over pretty high on all three. So knowing that there's limited funds, I mean, how does that get sorted out, I guess, as far as, okay, this project scored high, but are, you know, any of the other projects beneath it going to get any funding, I guess?
Yeah, I would say probably for the Johnny Mercer Boulevard project, we'll probably go first for the TA funds and carbon reduction funds. Because we have a little bit more money for the SDBG funds. So we do want to leave the SDBG funds for projects that cost more. But smaller bicycle pedestrian project probably because we might have enough funds from the carbon reduction program and the bicycle pedestrian. So I would say the priority would be from that funding source. So SDBG funds probably will go towards the STAR 204 first.
And I'll just about Johnny Mercer specifically, we put that one at a later allocation year. I think it's like 29 or something.
Yeah.
Planning purposes.
Yeah.
So if you have projects that are starting in 27 and 28,
yeah,
the money from those years would apply first.
Yeah, so they're all from different years. So we would try to do the balance.
Okay.
By that time.
That,
yeah,
makes sense. I guess, yeah, so there's prioritization here, but then there's also the project itself and,
yes,
the timing of it. Okay.
Yeah, development schedule. And also, we noticed that Effingham County projects all have a very, very tight schedule. So it's not like not only one person mentioned it. So you might have all of your faces together. So we might not give you all the money you want, but we might give you like PE money in certain years and then maybe PE money for another project. So you don't have to have all of that all together.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. So you'll probably have to revise your schedule as well by that time, but by the funding allocation.
Right. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you. Up next, we are in our information reports, GDOT project status.
Okay, for pre-construction, we've got number 117271, the DDI improvements on I-95 at State Route 21. Next milestone is concept approval. Concept's been submitted, so we're just waiting on the approval. 20172 is the widening and reconstruction of State Route 21 from State Route 30 to Knight Street in Effingham. And on this one too, the concept has been submitted and we're waiting on the approval. 20173 is the widening and reconstruction of connector from State Route 17 to State Route 30. Early concept is underway. 0020 82282 State Route 307 from the crossing to Old Louisville Road. And concept approval is in early concept. We're still in early concept there. 0017414 is the bridge replacement. And the bridge replacement over Bull River and Lazaretto Creek, both of those are waiting for PFPR. 18023 is the roundabout, State Route 30 at Hodgeville Road, and next milestone is PFPR, and it's under review right now. 15704 and 15705 are the bridge replacement, the major widening on State Route 404. And the next milestone is FFPR. And then for active construction, these are a little backdated. So I should be getting a new construction report in a couple of days, and then we'll update it before policy, and I'll send it out again.
I have a question about this number one. Is this a full interchange reconstruction or just the making improvements to the DDI?
I think if I remember, it was a turn-in lane. It's not on here, but you want me to just send it to you? I'll look it up and send it to you.
Yes, please.
Rose looks like he knows.
It's an expansion of the existing, primarily capacity improvements and then improvements along the state.
Okay, so it's not like full interchange reconstruction. Okay. I actually have another question. I know that GDOT just held the public information meeting on the US 80 safety project. Can you give an update on that one?
On which one? Say it again.
I think it's the GDOT held the PIOH for the on Tybee Island, the US 80 safety project.
Oh, okay. What do you want to know about it?
How did it go? Yeah.
Pretty much like the last time.
50-50 still? Support, oppose?
Maybe like 60-40 optimistically. roundabouts continue to be considered world-ending devices.
Okay. That's strange. Okay.
I haven't gotten the official comments yet, so maybe when we get the official comments, so.
Okay.
Yeah, people still have the opportunity to submit comments, I believe, through the 19th.
Yep.
Okay.
We should have a better idea after that.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Up next is Chatham County. I don't have too many updates for y'all. We had the Garrard Ave final field plan review this week. That went pretty well. Few comments to address on that one. So that one's moving along smoothly. We're in the right-of-way process for I-16 at 17, Chevis Road Improvements, and Garrard Avenue. So we're pursuing right-of-way on all of those projects right now. As far as things in construction, the John Carter Road at Little Neck Signal, we anticipate that burn-in period starting next week. So we're hoping to get that signal.
Did you coordinate with Pooler on the Quaco Road widening project? Because I know that you're going to have like 2 miles in between.
Yes.
With bottleneck, right?
So is he still online? I think we're still coordinating that one. It's going to be a separate phase project.
Okay. So it'll be a third project.
It'll be a third project to address the pieces in between.
Okay.
But yeah, so it has been discussed and we're trying to figure out who's going to take the lead on that. But yeah, both parties are going to get it done.
Thank you.
Right. Up next, City of Savannah.
So right quick, Kimley Horn continues to shepherd Project Duren. They presented conceptual designs for both the overall project to rent as well as the short-term improvements, the congestion relief project at a town hall meeting at Jenkins High School on November 18th. The public advisory committee has been reconvened. Kimley Horn received comments from GDOT on the traffic data and forecasting and should have resubmitted those to GDOT last week. This week should be, Rhodes is nodding. Then DeLesseps LaRoche, when this was sent in at the end of November, it was 95% complete and should be open just about any day. And I know the folks over on DeLesseps will be ecstatic. Truman Linear Trail Phase 2B is still on track to open in June of 2026. They've been working on the 52nd Street Bridge. It's been down to one lane as they've been working on that, but that is still on schedule. Middle Ground Road for Tied to Town, the LSCR went to GDOT at the end of November, and they are a community open house was held at Armstrong in November, and they are continuing to move ahead. And finally, the draft concept alignments from Parsons Engineering are under review for the Montgomery Street MLK ramp removal or flyover removal. I'll get it right.
I have a question for the Middle Ground Road. Did you submit to GDOT for their TA funding for this one?
No.
Oh, you didn't. Okay. Just wondering. Okay.
All right. Up next is Chatham Area Transit. All right. Savannah Hilton Head International Airport. Okay. Port Wentworth, GPA, Garden City, Pooler, Thunderbolt, Tybee Island, Effingham County.
Yeah, I'll make a quick note. One thing that we've got getting substantially complete is the roundabout on Old Augusta and General Way. So we're excited about that being almost complete this month. And then other than that, that's really the only major thing that's happening. We got some resurfacing packages that are trying to get wrapped up before it gets too cold. And then, you know, we have several roundabouts that are under construction. And we're hopefully going to start construction on Gateway Parkway Extension, New Road that intersects Effingham Parkway, hopefully in January. That's it.
You can probably tell Tybee people the roundabout is not the end of the world, right?
Yeah, there are several roundabouts in Effingham County that are coming, so our citizens, I guess, won't be able to retreat to Tybee.
Effingham Municipalities. Bryan County. Richmond Hill.
Nothing at this time.
And then I see that LATS is attached.
Yeah, LATS status report is attached to this if you want to review.
Thank you. And then I guess we have notices.
Yeah, this is the built NOFO. So I would encourage the municipalities, if you do need to apply for bigger funding, this is the information that you want to really take a look at it. I will probably look at this as well from the approach that we might want to do a truck parking or freight, so we can get some additional funding. But I think it's geared more towards the municipalities and the counties that are or GDOT that are implementing agencies. So take a look at this. So if we have a bigger project, I would say probably a bigger project that the SPLOST, the T-SPLOST cannot cover. So this is the opportunity. So take a look.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I think the max on that one is 25 mil, and I think it's due towards the end of February, just for folks' info.
Yeah.
All right. And with that being said, we thank you all for your participation today. Our next TCC meeting will be on February 19th in 2026. I wish you all happy holidays and a happy new year.
Thank you.
Thank you.